Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And we are joined by the fabulous Viv Groskop. Welcome, Viv.
Yay!
Yay!
Welcome to me. Welcome to you.
Oh. We are so excited to have you on the... Well, there's lots of exciting reasons that we're excited about today's podcast, aren't there?
This is super exciting.
It is. And we are not in Ellie's lounge room in Forest Hill on the DFS couch. We are al fresco.
That's right. You say that.
Al fresco in a portaloo.
Yeah. Basically, we're all hiding in a portaloo at the Latitude Festival, which is very exciting. So there's a wonderful aroma coming from Helen and I.
Yes.
It's day three. Whereas Viv, you're staying off-site, aren't you?
I'm very cunningly staying off-site.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying the festival.
I bet you're not at this moment. Sandwiched between two women who are staying on-site.
This is my festival highlight. I'm breathing in and I'm taking in 3 days' worth of actually being here just by being in your company.
Welcome to the country. Good. So, so that's one reason to be excited. Reason number two to be excited, Helen.
It's our one-year anniversary.
That's right.
Ooh, what do you give each other on a one-year anniversary? What is the...
Is it paper?
Paper. Well,
you've got a running order.
We've got a running order here. We've done that. Let me start off by introducing Viv. Viv is a journalist, a writer, comedian, artistic director, a Downton Abbey fan, mother of three, and author of our favourite book.
Yes, in fact, author of...
Yeah, you haven't read very many books.
Well, to be honest with you...
Author of a book which we have read,
or
at least started.
Well, this is it. We had on our first ever podcast, so when we started doing the podcast, I think we took ourselves quite seriously.
And we were
like, we're going to make wonderful radio, and it's going to be very cultural, and we should have a book review.
Oh, book review,
which we called, We've Read a Book! Because we were just so pleased that we both managed to... Like, yours is the first book we have actually both managed
and
to finish.
A year later, it still is...
It is the only book we've ever reviewed.
The book review of the book.
Yeah. So I'm thinking every year on this date, we should talk about your book. Either of you, or this year, we've got you on. Perhaps next year. Perhaps next year, the podcast will just be you reading out the book. I don't know.
That's my show.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
So we're very excited to have you on the podcast because it's like the wheel has come full circle.
Yes, that's it.
Hasn't it?
A lovely arc.
Yeah.
The cheese wheel.
The cheese wheel. That's it. A big brie of entertainment. That's what we aim for. Viv is here at the Latitude Festival, as is Ellie performing. What did you perform in, Ellie?
I didn't really perform. I just talked.
You talked.
I was on a video games panel yesterday for the New Statesman in the literary tent. That's right. That's how smart I am. And we should say thank you to the New Statesman who have kindly lent us this porta cabin to record the podcast in.
We've got a bunch of flowers.
I'm not going to thank them for this.
We're on sweaty chairs in a shipping container. Never mind. But we've got free crisps.
We've got free Pepsi Max. This is, as far as Helen and I are concerned, I don't know what you're used to, but this is
like
the highlight. So should we talk about the book then?
Let's do
the book.
That book. So Viv, you've written a book.
Yes, Woman in Literacy Shocker. I wrote a book called I Laughed, I Cried, and it is now subtitled One woman, 100 days, and the mother of all challenges.
Oh, I like it. It
previously had another subtitle. but yeah, it's out now in a second edition. It came out last year, and now the new paperback is out, which has a new cover, which somebody's told me looks like a Tracy Beaker book, which is nice.
Did you unfriend them after that?
No, I actually agreed with them. I kind of fought against it, but my fight was in vain. Yeah, so I wrote this book, and it's about doing 100 gigs and 100 nights in an attempt to figure out whether I could and should try to be a stand-up comedian whilst having 3 children and a husband who hates stand-up comedy. I wrote it more as like an experiment of, can you do something completely different later in life, especially when you've got kids and responsibilities. And for me, that was what it was really about, and it just happened to be set in the world of comedy, because that was the thing that I had always wanted to do. So it's kind of about whether you can revisit dreams and crazy ambitions that you've had when you were much younger.
And it's nice to hear the raw honesty of both the performance but also the home life as well. Like, you go into even detail about what you feed your kids for dinner, and that was really reassuring, because like, I feed them Nutella sandwiches and pizza and fish fingers, and I'm not doing 100 gigs in a row. This is very reassuring. So that is great, because you feel the whole detail. It isn't just about like a Lance Armstrong, you know, I've achieved this, it was dream, believe, achieve. Like, you presented every detail in about it.
Yeah,
and that was really, really fascinating.
Yeah, when I decided I was going to do it, that was one thing. And then afterwards I had to decide whether I was actually going to write about it and make it all public. And so when I was doing it, I kept a diary of all of these moments, like my kids sort of pressing their noses up against the window and going, "Don't go, mummy." And I just watched this brilliant film called Punchline with Tom Hanks in it, and I remember the name of the actress in a minute. But she is in this situation where she's got 2 kids and a husband, and she's leaving them every night to do stand-up. And her husband is John Goodman, and he shouts down the street after her, "Nobody find this woman funny!" And that didn't actually happen to me, but it was like that.
Did he say it in his eyes, though?
Exactly. And my kids were like that, "Nobody laugh at this woman." Yeah, and also, I didn't want to be saying, "Oh, and then I tried the size 4 nappy on my 12-month-old child, and I found that Huggies were much better than Pampers." You know, I didn't
which is the wrong way around, actually, by the way.
It depends on the gender of the child.
Good tip there. Let's move on. That was almost parenting.
I wanted it to show the minutiae of what it's like when you're having to do a day job, because this is a thing that lots of people are having to do now, is do a day job, but the day job is either doomed, or they don't want to do it, doomed in the recession, or they don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
And then they're having to do another job out of hours, which they're sort of training at.
Yeah.
Like, how do you manage to feed your kids and put them to bed on time and get them to their activities and all those things?
Yeah.
So I wanted to get in a flavour of that.
Yeah,
without totally geeking out and being sponsored by Mothercare. Although I am open to sponsorship by Mothercare.
We are so open.
Yeah.
Ernest and Julio Gallo are our target number one sponsors, aren't they? They've yet to reply to our emails.
We're going to target Jacob's Creek now, then.
Oh, yes. True.
I've got that book.
So you published a book. It was a big hit.
Oh, you said, oh, you're leaving a gap there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep talking.
It was a big hit, question mark. Yeah, it was. It got brought out in a second edition, so that's great.
Oh, fantastic.
And, and it turned into a show unexpectedly, in that I kind of realised last year that I could go and perform something connected to it at Edinburgh. So I very ambitiously took a 2-night run. So I performed it for 2 nights. And I didn't realise that anyone was going to be reviewing it, because I probably wouldn't have done it then. I would have been really embarrassed. But it did get reviews, and it got a 5-star review. And so I was like, oh my goodness, maybe in its slightly shambolic, terrible state, it is actually a show. So I'm bringing it back again this year, this August. And I'm doing it for 2 weeks with Freestival, La Favorita Freestival.
Lovely.
Which is a new part of the Free Fringe.
Ah.
Yeah.
Are you taking the kids to Edinburgh?
They're going to come in the middle bit. I'll be there for 2 weeks and they'll come for about 5 days.
Because that's what Helen and I, because we want to take our show to Edinburgh maybe next year or the year after, and we're trying to work out what on earth we're going to do.
Saving up £10,000.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Good. Write this down, Helen.
Okay, quick.
Save up £10,000.
Yeah.
Work out how you will not do any other work for a month.
Yeah. Okay. Tip.
Yeah. Yeah. And work out how you'll have childcare for the whole of the time that you're there.
Yeah. It's not like summer holiday with Cliff Richard, is it? Really.
No. Now we're at Latitude. Are your family with you here today?
They are, yes. Although, as previously mentioned, we are staying off-site.
Very nice.
Unlike you and your family.
Scumbags.
She said, reaching for her clothes peg. And my daughter had her 8th birthday yesterday. So
very nice.
They're loving it here. They basically are completely uninterested in all of the children's activities and the faraway forest and all the amazing flower fairies and the extraordinary entertainment. And they just want to partake of the retail opportunities.
How many flower bands have you got?
We've got about four.
Very nice.
You can never have too many.
Every 2 seconds. Oh, look, they've got donuts. Oh, look, they've got Mr. Whippy. Oh, look, they've got foot-long hot dogs. It's all become quite sort of consumerist.
Yeah, it is. My kids are just going, I want that. It's the only thing I want. And then I'll have it and it'll break. And I go, but actually I wanted a balloon. No, I wanted this. So,
My kids are also massively conservative. I wonder what that says about the parents. And they think the music is really, really loud.
Right.
And everyone looks really wasted.
And you're doing your show here?
Yes, I'm performing this evening at 8:45 in the literature tent.
Lovely.
Yes.
And will you be signing copies afterwards?
Well, I will, but in my experience, that's not going to take very long. It may take 0 minutes. But yeah, I'll go and sit on my own in the bookshop for a while.
Yeah. Hi, everyone.
Yeah. So since you've done your 100 gigs, how many more gigs have you done?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know because I stopped counting.
The thing is,
I think nobody cares apart from you. So
if
you don't really care, then don't
care. That's it.
But some people really get off on counting.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate those people.
My God, you count your gigs.
I can tell you sort of personally,
I did. I started a little notebook when I started stand-up. And weirdly, I didn't sort of think about it, but when I got to the 100th gig, it was exactly the last space on the last page. And I found that so incredibly satisfying that I think there's something wrong with me. Like, it was one of the best things that had ever happened to me. So I've started new. Yeah, I do. I like. So yeah, I think that says a lot about our different personalities. Helen.
Yeah. The running order that I put together with some kind of unidentified stain on it. But it's what keeps us together.
Exactly.
Really.
The differences.
How do you, I know you will have covered this in previous podcasts, but how did you two meet?
Well, we met on Ellie's second gig at a place called the Big Red Bus.
Oh, okay. So you met through comedy.
Yeah. Right. And so we both did jokes about our tits and vaginas, basically.
Each other's, our own.
That would be really funny. I've just met you and I'm going to make a joke about your vagina. Comical.
That's it. Check her out. Yeah. So we both did jokes about parenthood, and then afterwards we were having a beer together, and we realised that we both lived in Forest Hill.
Okay.
And we're both parents, and I was like, I like you, and I like your stuff. And we met up.
I like you, but I'm not like that.
Yeah. No, I'm holding a beer. It's
and
fine.
You're like, not since university.
No, that's right. So we met up for a beer a couple of weeks later because we thought, look, we both have small kids, let's do some comedy writing together. And then we realised that our sons were born 11 days apart by the same midwife. I know. So someone could make a joke about both our vaginas, because she's seen it all. But anyway, so that's it. And then we just really hit it off, and we got really drunk together one night and decided that we should, you know, do comedy together. And then Ellie, I think, emailed me in June last year saying, let's do a podcast. And that's it. Here we are with you. Yeah.
Have you had that midwife as a guest?
No, but she likes us on Facebook. So we should get her on.
One step closer.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to get her back, actually.
Are you going to write a follow-up to I Laughed, I Cried?
I would like to not be the last book writer of my own books with this book.
Right.
Yes, as you can tell, I'm real master.
Very eloquent.
By which I mean, I would like this to not be the last book I write.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think I can write an actual follow-up to this book
right.
unless I become Michael McIntyre.
Mm.
Perhaps not literally.
That would be a very interesting read.
Really
I think
book.
You'd look nice in a navy suit, though, really.
Yeah. Very expensive navy Prada suit.
Yeah,
so I hope I'll write... I'm probably going to write some more non-fiction, I hope. And, yeah, I would love to one day write the... Oh, here I am writing this in the dressing room of the O2. And, you know, to think back all those years ago.
1 million gigs.
I remember sitting in a porter cabin with these awful women.
Yeah.
Where are they now?
Nowhere. Sandwich.
I'd love to write that book, but I don't think I'm quite in that place just yet.
Well, have you thought of doing, like, another 100 thing? Like, you could go windsurfing for 100 days?
Well, I've got my idea for your children's book. That you could have like a guest because you've done like Viv does 100 gigs and then you could say if Viv was in a forest she could collect 100 twigs or if she was on a farm she could
we talked about this Helen you said you weren't going to say this
100 gigs this. And then
no.
If she was dancing in Ireland no. She'd do 100 gigs
no. Viv, I love this I love it
I know it's so
I'm very
good.
Sorry
so hang on this,
if she was out at the pub she could have 100 cigs
alright that's enough that's quite a
so much.
I think it's time out.
I could become an archaeologist and do 100 digs.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I love it.
She's on it.
I love it.
Don't tell my genius,
I think it's extremely entertaining for me.
Yes.
And I'd love to collect 100 twigs and do 100 jigs and smoke 100 cigs. I'm not sure if the public's ready for it.
Right. All right. We'll self-publish then.
Yeah, self-publish, definitely.
And it, well, yeah,
Kindle hit. Single.
Yeah.
It's a E-book. Kindle single. A series of 100 singles.
As I say, it's been a wonderful year, but I'm afraid this is the last Scummy Mummies podcast featuring me, Ellie Gibson. Viv Groskop and Helen Thorne will be launching their own Things That Rhyme With Eggs podcast next week. Good luck with that, ladies. I'm going to go and kill myself. Bye.
100 figs.
Oh, that was my one. I gave you that one. That wasn't even your one. That was my one that I said yesterday. We talked about this and we agreed you would not embarrass us in front of a proper guest.
I love it so much, though. Anyway. Okay.
Have you finished? Is it all out of your system? Because I don't want to carry on with this.
I am mentally going through the alphabet as we speak.
Yeah, I know you are. I can see it in your little Australian face thinking you're hilarious.
Right, okay, sorry. Anyway, I guess we should move on to the next question.
I think we should.
Question while I, you know, do some pelvic floors and wipe my eyes. I'll go back to my Radio 4 voice.
Mm.
Voice. About your worst gig. Because you're doing a show in Edinburgh. I was doing a segue to a plug.
I host a chat show called The Night I Die. So I interview someone mm-hmm. and I encourage them to talk about the highs and lows of their performing career, basically.
Yeah.
So
we
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Done it with authors, We've done it with comics. We've just done it with this amazing man called Richard Holloway, who is the former Bishop of Edinburgh. And he's in his 70s. He's known as the bishop who stopped believing. And he literally woke up one day and thought, do you know what? I just don't really believe in God anymore, so I'd better stop being the bishop.
Oh.
And he's done it, obviously, because he's been a preacher all his life, he's done loads of performing.
Mm.
And since then, he's become an amazing writer. His books are incredible. And he does lots of performing as a writer. So we had him on talking about The Night I Died, and it all went very dark and spiritual, and he talked about Jesus being the first stand-up comedian. That was amazing. Somebody afterwards said, you know, he said that Jesus was a good stand-up comedian, but I didn't think any of his jokes were funny.
He used to do mainly knock-knock stuff, didn't he?
Yeah.
That lyrics, I never liked it myself.
So we're doing it for five shows in Edinburgh between the 11th and the 15th of August at Bob and Misbehaves Bookshop.
Well, Helen, have we...
We cracked that nut.
We have cracked that nut. That's one of our catchphrases. She's very proud of it.
Yeah. It's really original.
It's sweeping the nation.
Yeah, it is. Ellen Thorne says, crack that nut. There's T-shirts out there at Lassitude as well.
So we did do a book review on our first podcast, and we haven't done one since because we haven't read any books, basically.
Not really, no.
I think the phrase that you're looking for is you already read the best book.
That's right. After you read your book, we were like, we never need to read a book again because no book can possibly top I Laughed, I Cried.
Yes.
So we thought we'd have some book chat, didn't we, Helen?
That's it. So this year, Viv, you were the artistic director of the Bath Literature Festival. So you will have read more books than one.
Yes, you'd think.
Yes.
No, unfortunately, I have read a great many books. So this job came up and I applied for it. Little realising quite how much work it would be, but it was very exciting. It was great. So it's a 10-day festival, 20,000 audience, 150 events, 200 authors.
Was this on the job description when you applied for it?
Oh yeah, it was. Yeah.
You didn't just say chuck a couple of books in a wigwam, good luck.
Yeah. sell your own collection of secondhand books at 20p each. I wouldn't be good at that. But yeah, great books. Oh, Olivia Lang, I think, is a fantastic writer, non-fiction writer. And her book, The Trip to Echo Springs, is all about drinking. It's a story of six American writers and why they all had drink problems and how it fed into their work and how it fueled their work but also doomed their work.
I've heard of this book. It's meant to be
really, really fascinating. Great. She's brilliant. And we had lovely Patrick Barkham, who is here as well at Latitude. I think he's just done his show yesterday in his badger onesie. His book is called Badgerlands. And it's all about the badger and why people want to protect it, why they don't, and how it's this peculiarly British thing.
Oh, I don't know if I want to protect badgers. I've never thought about it. Helen, do you want to protect badgers?
I was a big fan of Wind of the Willows as a child, so yes.
I thought because you're from the country, you might be like, no, they're vermin.
No. Well, I find all English creatures very cute because everything...
English creatures, please show me your passport. I don't know whether to find you cute or not.
No, all I can think of is like fuddly old badger in Wind in the Willows, you know, the BBC series from the 80s, like going, oh, toad. So
I didn't realise he was from Perth.
So you don't have any badgers in Australia?
No, they didn't bring them out
badger
on the ships.
Badger free zone.
Yeah. Wow. So, they, you know, your paradise, Ellie.
Well, there you go, non-badger friends. Book yourselves a flight.
I'm trying to think. So those two good non-fiction reads, good fiction reads... Oh, can I just recommend things that I...
Yeah, please
okay.
Do.
So we have not had this person at Bath, but I really hope we will get her at Bath. It's Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love, which is quite a controversial book in that not very many... A lot of people didn't like it, but it sold, you know, millions of copies and it was made into a film with Julia Roberts. Mm. And it's this whole story of how she took a year out of her life after her divorce and went to eat loads of food in Italy, pray in an ashram in India, and then fall in love in Bali. I don't think that's a spoiler alert. If it is, don't put it in the title of your book. And she has spent, I think, must be a good sort of 5 or 6 years writing this amazing novel called The Signature of All Things, which is about a female Darwin. in the 19th century. She's in this wealthy family in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and is the only child and is educated like a boy.
Yeah.
So she grows up with all of these expectations, only to discover, no, you are a lady. You're not allowed to do anything.
Is that King Julian? Is that King Julian from Madagascar? Yeah, oh, I love King Julian. Yeah. Oh.
And it's,
Maurice.
It's absolutely brilliant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really good.
Today, let's talk about holiday reading. Do you like to read like proper books on holiday, or do you have like guilty pleasures that you save for when you're...
I'm a bit of a fascist about this question, actually. Because I feel I'm just about to go... I'm doing a Radio 4 thing about holiday reading at the moment, so I've been thinking about it a lot. And I get really annoyed that people feel like it should be this special thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just... You just should read whatever books you like.
Mm,
and yeah. I think it's really sad that a lot of people... If you ask them, oh, yeah, well, who do you like to read? What books do you like to read? They just don't really know what to say.
Mm.
And it's become this whole almost quite snobby thing of... Oh, yes, well, this year's Gone Girl is this. And that's what you should be reading. Because it's what everybody's reading. And you're not reading what everybody's reading. And it becomes that, you know, if you haven't read The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt or whatever, then, oh, you can't have an opinion.
Right.
Whereas yeah. I just think people should read more of the stuff that they really like.
Mm.
So what I tend to read on holiday is backlist. So I will... find an author that I really like, and then I'll make sure that I've read everything that they've written.
Mm.
You know, and that could take a few holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on who they are. I'm trying to think of the last. So I discovered recently this guy called Tim Parks, who wrote an amazing book about meditation. Now I sound really hippie, haven't I? And then I suppose in the last few years I've discovered people like Anne Patchett. You know, I love Anne Patchett. She wrote Bel Canto.
Mm-hmm.
You're all looking totally like, say it's about drink. We're just going to look permanently great.
No, I read a lot of Australian books. I sound a bit like
that. Okay.
Like yeah. Tim Winton.
Oh, Tim Winton. I saw him speak recently and it was amazing.
Tim Winton's extraordinary and... Christoph Tschulkas.
I love Christoph Tschulkas.
He's amazing.
Yeah, so that's so holiday reads. Yeah, don't be dictated to. That's what I would say. Read what you want to read.
Take that, Richard and Judy.
Yeah.
Totally.
Up yours.
Yeah. My favourite holiday books are, have you ever read any Lee Child books?
Oh, then, see, that's too scary for me.
Oh,
my dad could take that on holiday.
Yeah, then he read 10,
and he has written about 70 books.
Yeah, no, there's loads of them. And they're all exactly the same. They're all about this guy called Jack Reacher, who's an ex-military policeman, and he basically just goes around America
into video games.
Beating people up. It's brilliant. Yeah, but it makes quite a nice change, you know.
Yeah.
But I know that if I take a Lee Child book, I know what I'm getting, and it will be sort of unpleasantly violent in quite a satisfying way.
Yeah, you see, this avenue of life has been closed to me because I get very scared.
Oh, well, books aren't real, you know. It's not the never-ending story.
No, to me, though, I live it like it's real. I can't stand it. I could never read a Lee Child book. I know that I couldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm slightly worried about that because I've recently seen a load of American films which I wouldn't necessarily have gone to see, and they were all incredibly violent, people coming right up and shooting somebody's face off,
God.
And then you see everything, and I'm just going, oh, that's awful.
Someone should do something about this. I'll be writing a very short letter to the Radio Times.
Yeah, but I just thought, soon I'm going to be completely excluded from culture.
Yeah.
Because I get too frightened.
Well, I don't know what to say to you, really.
I'm the same. I can't watch anything scary. Like, Will wanted to watch the new Fargo series, which is meant to be fantastic, but it is too violent, and there's just the sound of, like, stabbing or anything like that. I can't. Yeah. I won't sleep. I take it to, like, it's happening to me.
I have got, since I, it's a cliche, but
so
since I've had children,
inside.
I can't cope with things about missing or dead children.
Yeah.
That I can't cope with. That's the line.
Laugh.
Oh, my speed's hilarious. Yeah. Twin Peaks, sitcom, I thought. Sitcom.
How old are your kids, Viv?
They're 3, 7, and 10. Oh, no, they're 3, 8, and 10.
Oh, yes.
The big birthday yesterday.
And do you read with them, or what's your sort of relationship with... Are they booky kids?
I don't want them to read. My eldest, he's 10, so it'd be a bit weird if he couldn't read yet.
No, fair enough.
He loves to read, and I just let him read, you know, whatever he wants to, largely, which at the moment there's lots of books about submarines. Vera is, yeah, she's eight and she's just really getting into reading, you know, her own stuff. And obviously Jack is the third child, so I struggle to even remember his name.
Yeah, that's what will make him good, though.
When we bumped into you the other day, you're on the way to the Gruffalo tent. Did you find the Gruffalo?
Oh, no, I think I might have imagined it, or possibly just bribed the children with the promise of it. But
there's a Gruffalo thing. There's a sign saying Gruffalo out there somewhere.
But there's always the promise of a Gruffalo.
Yeah, that's
there's
it.
There's always the promise.
My husband promised me a Gruffalo last night, not a sniff. Are the Julia Donaldson books hits?
The Australian.
Sorry, everyone. A Gruffalo just walked in. Helen's murdered it.
He's still alive. For the benefit of anyone listening.
Oh, Helen.
That was a 2mm earwig. Travelling at about 1 mile an hour.
The killing.
Acted as if it was what do you call those red spiders in Australia?
Redback spiders.
Yeah, it acted as if it was a redback spider.
It was a threat. Helen Thorne, I've never seen you move so fast in your life. That was astonishing.
I usually never leave a chair, but there we go.
Oh, thanks for taking that on.
There we are.
Sorry about that.
This truly is the countryside edition.
Yes, it really is.
Coming mummies.
Oh, that's right.
I think we should start rounding up. I can't take any more insects coming in here.
Australians saying about, you know what the country's like, it's full of trees and full of
what?
As in people who live in the country are
oh.
You know what the country's like, full of trees, full of
oh, I see. I'm not. That's not such a popular expression in this country.
No,
I feel like I'm not as
I don't think David Cameron says that about. What's that place he lives in? Chipping Norton.
I don't know. I don't follow his movements.
No.
Well, on that bombshell, I think.
It was certainly a bombshell for the year.
Sorry,
I think it's time for the Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Hooray!
Helen, would you like to kick us off?
I killed an earwig.
Pretty scummy. Well, I haven't brushed my children's teeth for 3 days. That's a nice start, a little taster. But yesterday my daughter was dancing around the tent and I could tell she needed a poo. And I said, oh, look, I'll take you to the loo. She's like, no.
She went too unlimited. No,
pooping. So instead she walked around and pooed next to some people, next to their tent.
Were the people? Because the people were they in the tent?
They were sitting outside the tent, and then Matilda sort of, you know, goose stepped next to him, did her business. And I don't know what she'd been eating. I think it was the blue slushy from the night before, but it was bright green.
Oh, nice.
So that was country living for us.
That's nice.
That latitude, and we also ate some chips off the ground.
Oh.
Our own chips that we dropped, but you know, they are chips, so
I'm not sure that helps. Yeah,
no, really. So that was pretty our scummy adventures, and it's pretty nice, really.
What about you, Viv? Have you got a scummy mummy confession?
Yeah, I got one of my children to poo near where some people were eating chips off the ground.
Tasty, brown sauce.
No, just making my husband do everything.
All of the time. Is he having a really good time? Does he like a festival, Simon?
No, he's not a big festival fan.
No.
But it's not just now that I make him do everything. It's all of the time.
Yeah, I got accused of treating my husband like a roadie at the Caversham Festival, and I didn't really have a comeback. So you say, what do you mean? Just because I made you drive here and unload the car and look after our child and then load the car and drive it home again? What are you talking about? You know, I felt that would have been unreasonable to contest that. My scummy mummy confession is also latitude themed. So last night it was Pete's turn to go out. So I took Charlie back to the tent about 10 o'clock and we wandered through the faraway forest, which you mentioned earlier, which is all very lovely, all fairy lights, and he's in his little yellow raincoat and I'm pretending I'm in the Bowdoin catalogue and it's all wonderful. And he's like, look over here. And he ran over to this spot and this woman just leaned over and went, someone's just thrown up down there. The moment just shattered. And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, oh god, let's just and then my husband came in at 5 a.m. having had a very nice time, and I had a row with him because he then wanted to at 7 a.m. he tried to do a wee outside the tent naked, and I had to say, there are children at this event. Nobody wants to see your Christmas turkey at no, 7 o'clock in the morning.
No.
I'm not sure, especially in the current climate. I'm not sure Helen's children need to be subjected to that.
No, no.
So it's been fun, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been. It's been dreamy.
Well, I guess that's it for this episode of the podcast and for year one of Scummy Mummies. Hopefully not the last year.
Yes, one hopes.
One hopes. And we cannot say thank you enough to everybody who has downloaded the podcast, listened to the podcast, told their friends, given us lovely reviews. And we've had an absolute blast doing it so far, haven't we?
That's it. We've had approximately 80,000 downloads since we began.
Have we really?
Yeah. And we're now up to 88 countries we're listened to, so that's very nice.
Yeah. I noticed we had someone in Angola the other day. Hello, Angola.
Hi, Angola.
Very excited.
Hello, wow. Romania.
That's very worrying.
Hello, Saudi Arabia.
Watch out, BBC World Service.
Exactly.
Take that, Rory Kettler-Jones.
Yeah, thank you very much, Viv, for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You've been wonderful.
I laughed and I cried.
Yeah,
and I killed
and you killed someone. So you've had a good day.
No, I have.
Happy birthday, Scummy Mummy.
Thank you very much. Thanks, everyone. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.
But we'll let's, I guess, talk about the worst gig, because you've got a show, haven't you?
I've only just realised that they all rhyme with gig.
The new statesman is going to throw us out of this porter cabin. We're going to get ejected from the Latitude Festival. They're going to think we're off our nuts. Are you high?
Do you know what we could speak out with? 100 weeks.
What?
In disguise.
I don't know what to say, Viv. I wish I could say she's not normally like this, but that's not true, is it? I would say she's not normally like this when she hasn't even had a drink.
I'm so tired.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.